The revolving door at the White House keeps turning. The president's top economic advisor, Gary Cohn, said yesterday he's resigning. He's been at odds with President Trump's plan to tax global imports of steel and aluminum. The president is expected to make those tariffs official, though, by the end of the week.
Let's take a look at the week so far. A deeper look with our political analyst this week, Alice Stewart, the Republican, the former communications director for the Ted Cruz presidential campaign. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Robin. Jeremy, how are you?
Good.
Doing well.
And Karine Jean-Pierre, a Democrat and spokeswoman for MoveOn.org. Hi, Karine.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
And Alice, I want to start with you. Gary Cohn's resignation, not totally a surprise. He's pro-trade. He's a Democrat. He was a dissenting voice on President Trump's tariffs plan. So not a huge surprise there. But are you worried as a Republican strategist about it adding to this image of, as Jeremy said, the revolving door, the Dow dropping, this image of chaos, instability? You concerned?
I think we all knew this was going to be how the Trump administration was going to operate. And look, Gary Cohn was instrumental in helping to get tax reforms passed, regulatory rollbacks. I was involved in many roundtables he oversaw at the White House to get the message out and help craft tax reform, which was very critical and I think a huge success for this administration. But as you said, he's been looking to leave for quite some time. He was upset with the president pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord, obviously not happy with his response to Charlottesville. But this tariff was too much. It was a bridge too far. And he couldn't, in all conscience and in his experience and background, he couldn't be the lead salesman on a plan that he didn't agree with. Yeah. And I think we knew this was going to come. But on the heels of all of the turnover and turmoil in the White House, it's a lot. But as the president said, he thrives on conflict. That's how he ran his businesses. That's how he ran his campaign. That's how he runs his White House. Speaking with many Republicans out there across the country, they don't care about the palace intrigue. They want to see more tax cuts. They want to see jobs. And they don't get bogged down in what we're talking about with regards to the turmoil in the White House, which I think it's a stumbling block. It makes it difficult to get things done. But Trump's base, they expected this, and they're not fazed by it.
Karine, how does this look from your perspective as a Democrat?
I think the chaos and dysfunction has real life consequences. It's not just about palace intrigue. Excuse me. When you've had such a turnover like this president has had, two chiefs of staff, three deputy chiefs of staff, four communications director, two FBI directors, and countless other staffs in 13 months, which is unheard of. So you have a president who is historically unpopular for a modern day president, and then you have this historical number actually of high turnover that we more than President Obama had and other presidents as well. And so it is just kind of this word that I'm going to use that I thought we buried in 2016, but clearly have not, which is unprecedented what we're seeing. And there is this sense that people around Donald Trump say, oh, you know what? He's a political disruptor. What he does. He comes in. But the truth is he's disruptive.
Well, I was going to say to Alice's point, though, this is when we were out on the campaign trail. This is what voters wanted. They wanted a disruptor. And so they may be, his base may still be saying, we want this, but he's also disrupting the party with the push for tariffs. And we want to listen to some of the response. You know, there's the criticism that the president, wants to punish China for flooding the U.S. market with steel, but he's punishing Brazil, Canada, our allies who also sell steel, American workers. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan trying to say that yesterday.
Every now and then, we're just going to have a different approach on how we should tackle these problems. But it should be acknowledged that there is a problem that needs to be addressed here. We just want to make sure that it's done in a prudent way that's more surgical so we can limit unintended consequences.
And Senator Lindsey Graham was a little more pointed on Face the Nation.
China is winning and we're losing with this tariff regime. You're letting China off the hook. You're punishing the American consumer and our allies. You're making a huge mistake here. Go after China, not the rest of the world.
Alice Stewart, you're the Republican strategist. What's happening within the Republican Party? Are people afraid that if the president goes through with this tariff thing, it's going to be disaster, a trade war, American workers actually hurt?
It depends on how he executes this. I'm really not convinced he has a fully thought out plan on how to execute these tariffs. He is following through on a campaign promise that he said he would do all he could to help steel workers in Pennsylvania and certainly the aluminum industry. But at the end of the day, when you crunch the numbers, while this talk is music to the ears of those in this industry, this virtually saves about $140,000 steel manufacturing jobs. But the impact throughout those who actually use steel and aluminum, we're putting at risk 5 million jobs.
Right, and people who make motorcycles.
Certainly. And when you really look at the numbers and the long-term impact, I would like to think the president will roll back some of this rhetoric, but it remains to be seen. We have not seen a full-scale plan, and this is similar to the immigration ban that he did with regard to bringing immigrants into this country. He didn't the travel ban. He didn't have a fully thought out plan when he rolled this out. I would like to think he will scale this back. But with regard to the voters and the GOP base that I talk to, the volume of this chaos, there is so much of this. It's almost like white noise. The White House chaos is like white noise, and the conflict that some of them knew they were going to get, it's like comfort food for them. They knew this is what they were going to get, and they are fine. When they hear the president say, I like conflict, tariffs are good, that's what they hear. Well, they listen to all of this other stuff, but what they hear is what the president says.
Corrine, what about the Democrats? Where do they stand on this? It seems like there's a bit of division within the party about whether tariffs are a good idea. Like somebody like Bernie Sanders actually probably agrees with President Trump on this.
Well, I think it's the process, right? I think that, yeah, there's some ways to really talk about tariffs and trade in a way that is productive, in a way that is not done the way that Donald Trump did it, which is incredibly reckless. I mean, when you have a president who doesn't even talk to his own people, his senior staff, the folks that he put in leadership in the different agencies to say, okay, let's sit down, let's figure out how we make sure we do this without angering our allies, without the fact that this would tax our working people, the very people who put him into office. And it's the process. It's doing it the right way, putting forth policies that make sense, that doesn't anger everyone, including our important allies that we need, that we've already isolated ourselves because of the way Donald Trump has just behaved.
So are you saying you're against the tariffs or you're pro-tariffs?
Oh, I'm against the tariff. Okay. You were asking me a question about some Democrats who are for this, and I was saying that the process here is not working. I'm not for this at all.
Well, I just want to make sure that we get to porn star Stormy Daniels.
Oh gosh.
Well, because it's these things that people think, oh, it's just the stuff of tabloids, and then suddenly you have a blue dress that, you know, leads to an impeachment. Look, this is the porn star and director Stormy Daniels, who filed a lawsuit against the president. She wants to nullify the non-disclosure agreement she signed before the 2016 election. It was that she would not disclose about her alleged affair and then platonic friendship with the president. She wants it nullified because her lawyer says the president didn't sign it, and she wants to be able to go public with this alleged affair. Alice, how concerned should the White House be?
Thanks, Robin. Thanks for going. There are two avenues. There's the political ramifications, potentially using campaign funds to pay off hush money to a porn dud. And there's the personal conflict with this, is being tied up with someone like this. I can say with all honesty, Robin and Jeremy and Corrine, I have never pursued a career in the adult film industry. However, I would imagine those people are motivated more by money than morality. And when she's looking at the end of the day, why is she so concerned about violating a confidentiality agreement? Why doesn't she just say, forget the $130,000 hush money and just go sell her story and tell all? I don't understand why she's dragging this out. If she has a story to tell,
Once you've taken the money legally, you can't do it. So she's trying to say that the contract wasn't legal.
Right. And it appears if the president didn't sign it, then I think she is on firm legal ground. I think bigger picture for the president, this is another another problem when we're talking about people, unsavory characters, and bigger than the personal aspect and the shady nature of it, there's a potential legal jeopardy with regard to using campaign funds to pay her off.
Okay. We're going to give you each 30 seconds here, but I want to hear your thoughts on the primary in Texas. Big Democratic turnout, even bigger Republican turnout. Corrine, start with you. What do you think? What does it tell you?
You know, I think that it's a good sign. It's one of those things, those catch-22, because it's like we saw very high turnout amongst Dems. We saw progressives win. We saw women win. I think we're going to send Texas is going to send some women to Congress, which is incredibly historical and wonderful. But we saw Texas continue to trend more blue, but we're not there yet.
Right.
And so I think that's where it is. It's kind of, you know, catch 22. Right. Good news but some real news as well.
Okay, Alice, just brief response. Go ahead.
Sure. Full disclosure, I was Ted Cruz's communications director on the presidential campaign, and I think Texas is a red state. It will be red in the general, and he has a good money in the bank. He's got the right message. He's served the people of Texas well, and it certainly has worked really hard throughout his time
there. Oh, a little campaigning there.
that being said, I applaud the Democrats for coming out. I applaud them for getting folks out and turning voters out.
Yep.
At the end of the day, though, Beto O'Rourke, he may be a fine candidate. He's in the wrong state.
We have to leave it there. Karine Jean-Pierre, the Democratic analyst. Alice Stewart, the Republican.